Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Edge Podcast. I am your host, Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge. For those of you new to the Edge, we feature executive women in the recruitment industry to shine the light on the wonderful women leading our industry forward and for up-and-comers. If they can see it, women in executive roles, and understand the day in the life of the C-suite, they can certainly envision and be it. Today, we are thrilled to have Heather Jennings, president of Ideal, with us. Welcome, Heather. Before we dive into your story, Heather, could you tell our listeners a bit about Ideal and the incredible work you're doing there and what sets Ideal apart in the staffing industry?
Thank you so much, Leslie. I'm really excited to be here. And Ideal, we're a 100% women-owned, fully remote staffing company. We're focused on healthcare and education. And our company started in 2009. We're actually celebrating our 15-year anniversary next week. So milestone we're incredibly proud of. Rebecca Martinez, she's our CEO and fearless leader. She's guided the company through the incredible journey. And we're all super grateful to her starting our organization 15 years ago. So what sets us apart is we don't just fill roles. We build real partnerships. We take the time to understand the goals of both our clients and candidates, always focusing on relationships and leading with love and integrity. That's one of our core values. And, you know, that personal touch, it really makes all the difference in both healthcare and education staffing.
Congratulations on your 15th anniversary.
Thank you.
That is exciting times. And Heather, you and I have known each other for some time, and I'm just so thrilled to have you as a guest with us. And I'm really excited to share with our listeners a little bit more about your background and really how you came about landing that Ideal. And yeah, we'll just dive right into that. I guess when it comes to overcoming barriers, Heather, you grew up with some incredible inspiration from your mother and grandmother, especially as it relates to their impact with sports. Now, you've mentioned to us that your mom was an athlete in a world before Title IX and faced barriers throughout her athletic journey. And your grandmother had lived a life filled with adventure, including, and I love this story, being a horse diver, like in the movie Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, and meddling in the Senior Olympics. Okay, what a background with both your mom and your grandmother. I loved hearing those stories when you shared that with us. Can you tell us a little bit more about their lives and drive that inspired you and how that led to starting a local girls lacrosse team when you were in high school?
Thank you for that, Leslie. Yeah, my grandmother, so Marian LaShora, and my mother, they've both been inspirations in my life. As you mentioned, my grandmother's story is especially wild. So she was a horse diver at Atlantic City's Steel Pier, diving off 40-foot platforms into a tank of water. And I always suggest people check out the movie Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, which is free on Disney Plus. It could be a great family-friendly movie to watch. And it's based on a true story of Sonora Webster Carver. She kept horse diving at the Steel Pier in Atlantic City, even after she became blind. And so has some strong messages about going after your dreams and self-reliance, pushing through challenges, very heartfelt and inspiring. But if you watch it, then maybe you can have more of that visual and true understanding of what horse diving was like. But back to my grandmother. So she was doing these dives multiple times a day, 7 days a week. And she even did it while she was pregnant with my mom. She also has competed, like you mentioned, in the National Senior Games. And since 1993, she's earned actually over 300 medals. And then my mom, also very athletic and involved in a ton of sports. She is always competing as well. She still is in the Senior Games, and she also travels all throughout the country now for competitive pickleball. She went to University of Kentucky for Division I basketball. Like you said, Leslie, yeah, that was before Title IX. So, I mean, Title IX has been so powerful for ensuring equal opportunities for all genders and athletics and academics, but that didn't come around until 1972. And even with that, I mean, it's still taking time, right, for things to catch up. And but you know, we are getting closer. I mean, how great was it that at the Olympics this past summer that American women won 66 medals, right? That was more than half of the total medals won by Americans. And you know, to answer your question about my high school experience playing lacrosse, so I grew up in Fairfield, Connecticut, back in the 90s. And if you wanted to play lacrosse as a girl, you had to try out for the boys' team in high school. So two of my classmates did, but by my junior year, we were like, enough's enough. So those girls and a few others, myself, we decided, you know, we're going to start a girls' team. And that push to break through barriers is something I've learned from both my mom and my grandmother. If you want something, don't sit around and wait for it. You go out and you make it happen.
Okay, for anyone who hasn't seen horse diving before or know what that means, I highly encourage you to search one, watch the movie, or two, just search horse diving. And it is unlike anything I've ever seen, Heather. And to think that your grandmother did this and while pregnant with your mom is truly incredible. And no doubt that drive, so to speak, kind of stuck with your mom, and was carried over to you. And I love that you just continue to push and overcome any kind of resilience to be successful. And I know when I think of competition and playing sports and team sports in particular, it can really give you a certain drive of success. So I'm curious to hear from your lens how playing sports, especially participating in sports that were traditionally male at the time, prepared you for your career journey and maybe how you balance that competitive spirit in your professional life.
Yeah, that mentality of taking action really started early for me. So there's actually a home video of me at about 5 years old playing t-ball as the only girl on the team. And I mean, you can actually hear people snickering even in the background, because then, you know, the idea of girls getting the same opportunities as boys, it really wasn't there. And so bringing that full circle, I was so proud this past spring to see my daughters, Ava and Savannah, play girls lacrosse for the first time as a kindergartner and second grader right here in our hometown. And the fact that these opportunities exist at such a young age for girls now is absolutely incredible. As for how sports prepared me for my career and balancing the competitive spirit and my professional life, well, I mean, it's about resilience, handling setbacks, and balancing, I think, even that competitive drive with collaboration. So to be honest, our Fairfield High girls lacrosse team, well, I mean, we weren't great, okay? Most of us were juniors and seniors, you know, just starting the team. And yeah, we were getting whooped by freshman teams. But sports taught me that winning isn't always everything. It's about growth and pushing your limits and sometimes laughing at yourself along the way. And I carry that same mindset with me into my professional life every day.
Well, I have to say, when you think about the journey you were on as far as kind of pushing to have the sports team, even if you were, you know, just getting started your junior or senior year, fast forward to now with your girls having those opportunities at such a young age. We always talk about it takes, you know, many generations to see change. And while we may not have experienced something in our childhood, the more we can push for it, the more likely our kids are to see it. So certainly Your pushing definitely made an impact for those next generation of girls playing lacrosse and other sports, to your point, that were male dominated in the past. So kudos to you for pushing for that, because you know what, if you don't and others don't, it's not going to happen for girls in the future. It'll just take a lot longer. So it's great to hear that your girls are playing. And I like to say, Heather, it's never too late. I started playing hockey when I turned 50. And when I was growing up, we'd watch the sport, but girls never had an opportunity to play. And I'm grateful for those who came after me and did fight for girls to be able to play. And now that gives me, even as an older adult, an opportunity to take on the sport too, which never would have happened in the past, for sure. So it takes everyone to kind of push and make that happen, regardless of where you are in your journey or your age and so forth. So I'm happy to hear your girls are playing.
Well, thank you. And it really does. I couldn't agree more.
Well, you got your start in recruiting early in 2005 and have since worked your way through many different facets of the business, which I love hearing these stories because I do believe when working your way up to that president level, it's important to get experience across the business, and not everyone does that. However, you were in business development, so sales, strategy, and ops, marketing, then you were sales leadership. You know, and sometimes a revenue and technology roles. So how has that varied experience prepared you for your role today as president of Ideal? And are there any particular skills that you find yourself leaning on most regularly?
It's a great question. And yes, so I have been in staffing since 2005 and have experience in, as you mentioned, just about everything. I feel like recruitment, business development, strategy, marketing, sales leadership, revenue, technology, and that all is such a big piece to where I am today. I was fortunate to start my career at Onward Healthcare, which was a young startup. At that time, I worked under our CEO, Kevin Clark, who was a co-founder of Cross Country. And John Martins was my president. He's now the current CEO of Cross Country. I learned very early on the importance of adaptability and clear communication. For example, when I mentioned working at OH to abbreviate Onward Healthcare, candidates would always assume I meant Ohio, right? So
Right.
that stuck with me. And this is, before AMN Healthcare acquired Onward in 2015. And then, I was fortunate to have Susan Salka was my CEO at AMN at that time. And she was just always an inspiration to me. And I remember asking her, how did you get to where you are today? Because she had been with AMN since the 80s. And at the time when I was there, I think she was approaching 30 years in the business and of course, leading at the CEO level. And she said, taking every opportunity that you can to work in different departments and gain that experience, you just want to constantly be doing that because then you can have more of that exposure and experience across the organization. So a lot of those things really stuck with me. And as president now, I mean, I'm really excited to be leading over education and healthcare sectors. And in our healthcare division, going to the mentioning technology, we're leveraging Jobify, which this technology improves hiring efficiency, and it's really significant in improving our ability to deliver both quality and speed. And just being in the industry for so long and then working in all these different types of roles, it helps to piece those things to together while always having the human touch at the core of everything that we do. And then in education, on the school side, we're integrating behavioral health clinicians to meet critical student needs. And you may notice, Leslie, we use the word thrive a lot in our communications also at Ideal, and that's intentional as our mission statement is connecting people and creating paths to thrive together. So I can lean heavily on adaptability, resilience, and empathy in my role. And whether it's with our team, clients, candidates, putting people at the center really helps to drive that innovation, growth, and have that real impact in the communities that we serve.
Well, you focus on a couple of things here. One, of course, with staffing, putting people at the center is so critical and something that people fall in love with when working with our industry, where we can really make a difference and help other people in their careers and just make a difference with the type of people we're placing and working with and the impact that we know they'll make in their communities and in the world as well. The second thing is, you name dropped a few pretty impressive leaders in our industry. So having access to mentors and just leaders who have inspired you and you've been really curious and asked them questions about what made them successful and really took their advice to heart. And hopefully those kind of rising stars listening to this take to heart, you know, what you're saying as far as getting experience across different facets of the business, if that is something you have interest in doing as far as making it up to the C-suite, it is important to wear, you know, that lens to understand what each function of the business does and how it impacts growth and ultimately going back to the center of everything that you mentioned, the people you work with.
Absolutely.
So Heather, you've shared that despite getting involved and often overextending yourself to do good work, you really had a hard time taking your place higher up in the corporate world until now, of course, with your current role and looking at how did you create kind of that resilience in yourself to keep going? And how did you learn to use your voice to carve the path that you wanted for yourself?
That's such an important question, Leslie. For a long time, I did find myself overextending to prove my worth. And despite doing good work, I struggled to advance. It was frustrating. And at times I doubted if I'd ever break through. But the key to building resilience is learning to shift my mindset from constantly seeking external validation to recognizing my own value and contribution. I started to focus on what I brought to the table, my skills, experience, and the results that I could drive. And I'd say using my voice was the next step. So early in my career, I had this mindset that my work would speak for itself. And I quickly realized that advocating for myself is just as important. I had to get comfortable with stepping up, voicing my ideas, and making sure I was seen and heard. And that didn't come naturally to me at first, but it's essential. Surrounding myself, I mean, I love what you called out kind of when I was just talking about mentors that I've had. I've been so fortunate just to have those mentors. They've really helped me to also understand that being strategic and confident about how I present myself and my work is just really, really important. And over time, I just became more comfortable. They say practice makes perfect, I guess, and I'm far from perfect. I've still got a lot of learning and growth certainly to do, which is what inspires me too, and something I'm so excited about. But the more you do it, then you just become more comfortable, using your voice and more intentional too about setting boundaries. And, you know, the shift has allowed me to lead with more confidence, stay resilient through challenges, and ultimately carve the path that I've wanted for myself.
Oh, good for you. I always say, I mean, of course, we'd love to have our voice at a young age. It took me quite a while to find mine on my professional journey as well. And I guess as long as we find it and then pay that forward with, you know, sharing with others the importance of it and what can happen once you do that, and really just role-playing and having that confidence and knowing, like you said, you know, we have to believe in ourselves first and foremost. And when we believe in ourselves, others will too. And they will feel that confidence and know that we're committed. My dad used to always say this to me, you've got to look in the mirror and love who you see first and believe in you before others will do that. And people are more likely to believe in you when you believe in yourself. So I'm a big advocate and fan of that and finding your voice. So good for you for finding it. We're all fortunate that you did. And then it's just helpful for all of those who you lead and inspire and people who listen to your story, like in this podcast, to learn and be able to grow themselves too. It's a really great reminder if we sit back and wait for others just because we're putting in the work or feel like we're giving our all, doesn't mean things are going to come to you. You've got to use your voice and ask for it too. You've been in healthcare staffing for just about 20 years. In fact, and I love this about you, your LinkedIn URL username is even healthcare staffing, which I believe people ask you about quite often, how you were able to secure that. So you're very dedicated, clearly, to this particular industry within staffing to even have your LinkedIn handle the same way. What is it about healthcare staffing in particular that grabbed and has held your attention for so long, Heather?
It's true. I've been in healthcare staffing for nearly 20 years. And yes, my LinkedIn URL is healthcare staffing because, well, I mean, I've been in this industry, Leslie, for as long as LinkedIn has been around. And it's just something I knew pretty early on. And I guess I grabbed it. I don't know. But I think going to your question, why? Well, healthcare staffing has grabbed my attention because it's so much more than just filling roles. It's about making a real impact on people's lives. The clinicians and healthcare professionals we place are on the front lines, caring for patients, supporting families, and knowing that our work helps make a difference every day is incredibly rewarding. My sister is a doctor. I've got My uncle is, I have several nurses in family and cousins who are doctors. I personally faint at the sight of blood and needles. So I did not get that gene, but I still want to do what I can to make a difference. So, and at the end of the day, it's all about the people. So whether we're, again, helping that clinician find the perfect role or partnering with a hospital to meet their staffing needs, I know that we're contributing to better care for the communities we serve, and that's why it's held my attention for so long.
It's definitely a part of the industry that has made and continues to make a significant impact. So kudos to you for kind of following your gut on the area that you're so passionate about as it relates to people, but also just where, ways to give back to the communities that we serve and to look out for such an important area within healthcare, and it's so evolving. And we've talked a little bit about that evolving pace of staffing and kind of the responsibility we bring in. You've said that we actually have an opportunity to have an incredible impact on the world through staffing. So how do you cultivate and maintain? I love that about you, Heather, that you have this passion for the industry and a high level of energy. How do you bring that same enthusiasm within your team? And are there specific practices or principles you follow around that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, staffing has such a unique opportunity to truly impact the world. It's something I constantly remind myself and my team. And at Ideal, we're focused on connecting people to roles where they can make a difference, whether that's in healthcare or education. And a big part of what keeps our energy and enthusiasm high is knowing the why behind what we do. So, for example, with Ideal Schools and Ideal Academy, we're integrating behavioral health clinicians into schools to help address mental health challenges and create inclusive environments for students. We're helping to shape futures for kids who need support, especially when it comes to social emotional learning and mental health. And to cultivate that level of energy, I focus on leading with purpose, keeping that bigger picture always in front of the team. When our team sees the real impact we're making, whether it's supporting healthcare facilities or ensuring schools have the resources that they need, it drives them to go above and beyond. I encourage everyone to stay connected to our mission, and our mission statement is connecting people and creating paths to thrive together. It's just not a statement that we put on paper. It's words that we live by. And I mean, really every placement that we make, it does have a ripple effect, and it keeps us motivated. So specific practices I follow, I mean, leading with transparency and empathy is huge for me. I'm big on communication, whether it's celebrating wins or addressing challenges. We also focus on a lot of collaboration at Ideal. Everyone has a voice and we succeed together. And I make sure to create space for recognition. Celebrating the small and big wins keeps the team energized and reminds us of the difference we're making. And ultimately, the excitement comes from knowing we're contributing to something bigger, whether we're helping a school integrate behavioral health services or staffing a healthcare facility. The work we do impacts lives, and it's just natural, I guess, but that's just kind of what then keeps our energy and enthusiasm so high.
Well, I love that you all live your values and everything that you do. And obviously the work that you're doing is more critical today than ever, especially when we think of mental health and education and staffing in that regard. You've really, as a company, become a leader in that space in healthcare and education staffing. You've got Ideal Hire, Ideal Travel, Ideal Schools, Ideal Academy, and much more. It's really clear how that passion and care, and you can hear and just feel the care in your voice when you speak about it, is really a driving force behind what your team does. I know everyone on my team who's talked to you have just left feeling that sense of you really do care about the people who you work with and the people you're placing and the people you place will be impacted. How do you see the intersection of purpose and passion in your current role? And maybe you could share that a little bit with any current projects that you're most excited about today?
That's a great question. At Ideal, I mean, passion and purpose are the foundation of everything we do. In my role, I see them intersect every day in both healthcare and education staffing. And again, we're not just filling roles. We're shaping the future of communities, whether that's a nurse providing care or a teacher shaping young minds. What we do has a direct impact on people's lives. And that's the passion side, knowing that our work truly matters. Purpose is what keeps us connected to something larger. It drives everything we do, reminding us that our work is part of a greater effort to create lasting change. And I mean, like just last week, for example, I mean, Leslie, by any chance, did you catch Matthew McConaughey on Good Morning America last week?
Well, I saw your post.
I mean, I'll tell you, I was just in awe watching it. My husband and I are watching it, and I'm saying to him, I'm like, look, like Matthew McConaughey is talking about our exact mission of our schools division. And I mean, for listeners who haven't seen it yet, basically, so Matthew McConaughey, he's highlighting the urgency for schools to use the billions that are available in federal funding for safety and mental health before it's redistributed by 2026. And I mean, Ideal, this is part of what we do, is helping schools access that funding. And then what we do on top of that, of course, being in staffing, is we're then also providing the essential staff to build supportive environments. So Ideal Academy is what we call our behavioral health services in schools. And we place professionals, clinicians like board certified behavioral analysts. So that's abbreviated. You'll see BCBAs and registered behavioral technicians, which you'll see abbreviated as RBTs. So BCBAs, RBTs, we place them in schools as part of our Ideal Academy program to address student mental health needs and manage classroom challenges. So what that's doing is creating long-term systems that help students, teachers, and schools really thrive. There's that thrive again. You're going to notice that now that I've told you, like our mission statement about thrive. You're like, wow, she says that a lot. It's all connected, like you said, to the mission. But again, for me, the intersection of passion and purpose means doing work that extends beyond any one of us, and that means a lot to me. Just the feedback you've heard from your team, and really for anyone listening, who, like, if you think how these ideas could fit into your own work, you know, by, I don't know, connecting with your community to make an impact, or exploring ways to access available funding, like mental health and safety initiatives, or simply, you know, if there's any interest, reaching out to collaborate with organizations like Ideal or myself. I mean, together we can build those stronger, healthier, and more supportive environments for the next generation. So please just don't hesitate to connect with me directly. And you know, if you want to learn more or get more involved.
Oh, thank you. And again, I think anyone listening will feel that same passion and excitement that you bring in. You're sitting in an area of staffing where there is a massive need for impact, and having that kind of call to action to make that change when you know the majority of people who you're talking to are impacted in some way. And you know, having you all there to be the voice and lend these services is really incredible and incredibly important. And so I'm going to switch gears here, Heather, for a second about being a leader and trying new things. And you've shared that you can tell that you've built the right team when the energy you receive exceeds what you put in. And I love this for you because you give so much passion and energy. I can only imagine how gratifying it is when you feel and receive that back from your team. So, how do you do that though, as a leader? How do you make sure you're building that energy for your team every day?
I'd love to reference a book I'm reading called the First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. And I picked it up because I'm actually nearing the end of my first 90 days as president of Ideal. And I definitely would highly recommend the book to anyone starting a new position, because there's some great insights on setting goals and, you know, structuring for maximum impact, and what common pitfalls to avoid. Another book that comes to mind is the Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which touches on some similar themes. But in both books, they emphasize how important it is to build the right team, and that includes every level within an organization. Of course, the highest level leadership roles are most critical early on, as that then massively influences those specific departments and organization. You know, the entire organization as a whole. But one thing Michael Watkins said in the First 90 Days is you'll know when you've been successful in building your team when you've reached the break-even point. And he defined that as when the energy you receive from your team exceeds the energy that you put into it. And what you've seen from me was paraphrased from that. I think he went on to say something like, it can take a while too, because it's something like, you must charge your battery before you can start your engine. But yeah, no, I love that quote, because it's exactly how I think about building energy. It comes down to really whether you've built the right team, and that right team being aligned with your company's mission and core values. So, I mean, I know that sounds simple, but if you stay true to who you are and ensure who you are aligns with your company's real core values, that's when the energy you get back from your team is incredible. Not to mention the buzz in meetings and conversations and day-to-day interactions. You can really feel the excitement, and oh gosh, it's just so much fun. You know, when you're surrounded by a team that's energized and all moving forward towards the same goal.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we'll be sure to reference the book as well in our follow-up. notes so people can benefit from the read as well and just learning more about your style and why that's important. It, as you were talking about that, I kept thinking about our team and what styles we bring and the energy that our team has. And I think you're right. You know, when you've built that right team, when the energy we're getting back, it really exceeds it. It's a really fun, incredibly proud moment to have an experience. So something we all can work towards achieving for sure. Heather, you've spoken about AI and how it can handle many of the routine tasks, really allowing leaders, so back to the part about being a leader and trying new things, to focus on what truly matters. So tools like Jobify, which provides real-time notifications to recruiters, how else do you see technology transforming even the travel, healthcare, staffing space? And how has Jobify helped you improve that speed to market? And how do you ensure that it really enhances what you've created in that leadership style that we just talked about rather than detracting from it?
That's a great question. Yeah, AI has revolutionized the way that we handle routine tasks and allowing leaders to focus on what truly matters, and all team members, building relationships, leading with purpose on the leadership side, making strategic decisions. And Jobify is powered by a neural network. I mean, really a prime example how AI can transform not just travel, healthcare, I mean, education as well, because it's a recruiter-facing tool. It provides those real-time notifications the moment a matching position becomes available. So, to give more context, the results specific to the healthcare side, where speed to market is everything, it gives recruiters the immediate ability to act, which has led to 20 to 30% increase in submittal to placement conversion rates for our customers, and that far outperforms industry benchmarks. And like one of our customers, I think about she their CEO told us, Heather, I don't know how any healthcare company can compete in this industry without Jobify. That's the kind of impact we're having with our customers. It's solving a critical problem, empowering recruiters to work faster and smarter and free up time to focus on what truly matters. So going back to the building relationships, and I mean, a key part of that relationship is also making sure that those clinicians and educators, I mean, that they can count on us to act the moment that perfect opportunity comes out. And sometimes you only have an hour to get your candidate over, and missing that window means missing out every time and then letting your candidate down. And the volume of jobs and candidates recruiters deal with in healthcare and education, I mean, it's massive. So I can speak to this because I was the number one recruiter going back to my Onward Healthcare days, where I mentioned earlier. Gosh, we didn't have tools like Jobify. I was managing stacks of paper and whiteboards and just stay organized, making trips to the fax machine. I mean, it was a very different time. So to have technology basically solve for these things, and it just allows recruiters to operate with that next level speed and efficiency. But that key is, again, ensuring AI supports rather than replaces those human connections. So technology like Jobify, they enhance our ability to lead by handling those administrative tasks, allowing us to focus on people, and empowers us to work smarter and lead more effectively, delivering better outcomes for healthcare facilities, schools, and the professionals we serve.
Wow. Well, I have to say, I love the combination of talking about how to be that strong leader and trying new things and not being afraid to try new things, really embracing it and, kind of celebrating as you do that to see the impact it has on the business, the positive impact. And I love that you related it back to kind of a celebration of sorts when you talked about your past success and You know what's interesting, Heather, is something that women don't always do is celebrate our own achievements. And I have been fortunate to kind of watch your career over the years and see where you landed today as president at Ideal. And really would like to take a moment, in addition to celebrating your role, let's take a moment to celebrate you. What personal achievements? I'm going to put you on the spot because this is something that's hard for women to do, but I think it's so important to talk about again as we look at kind of using our voice, being our own best career champion and pushing the movement forward. What personal achievements are you most proud of and why?
I'm super proud and honestly really honored to have been named in the 2023 Global Power 150 Women in Staffing. It means a lot to me, especially when I think about how many talented women there are in this industry. But when I think about breaking barriers, Leslie, and going back to sort of what we were talking about earlier about my childhood and experience growing up, I have to share with you another personal achievement that comes to mind. So I'm a certified kickboxing instructor, and when I was pregnant with my oldest, Savannah, I taught classes all the way through. I even taught a class at 39 weeks pregnant with her, which was just 2 days before I delivered, and Savannah came a little early, right at 39 weeks and in 2 days. So I was literally teaching kickboxing right up until the end. So not quite as wild as my grandmother diving off 40-foot towers on horseback while pregnant with my mom, but I guess it'll have to do.
Well, I'm guessing she was not 39 weeks pregnant, cliff diving, but
One would hope. I don't know.
yeah. But that being said, nonetheless, you certainly take after your grandmother and your mother, and now you have your two girls who will look up to you all and be inspired by you. And what a blessing for them to have you in their lives as a fantastic role model of a leader in the companies and communities you serve, but also as their mom. So, Heather, this flew by. We are almost done with our conversation. And again, congratulations on all of your achievements. And I'm just so grateful that you agreed to be a guest on the Edge podcast. And I'd love to close us out with some rapid fire questions, if that's good with you.
Sounds good. Let's go.
All right. Okay. What is your favorite time of day and why?
4 a.m.
Oh,
Leslie.
my
Yes, it's
goodness.
quiet. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Most mornings I do a workout during that time, clear my head, start my day, enjoy my coffee. By then I feel ready to take on whatever comes next. And just something empowering about starting the day on your own terms, focused, energized, and kind of that foundation for everything to follow throughout the day.
Right. Okay. If I wake up at 4, I'm thinking, yes, I have 2 more hours of sleep. So
I hear
I love
you.
hearing this, though, from each person. I have tried to become better at enjoying mornings, mainly because of that peace and quiet that you had mentioned. And I get up now in the morning, I give my son a kiss in bed, and I say, Mommy loves you. I'm off for my morning bike. Grab one of the two dogs and head out to the mountains and get in that kind of time with nature for myself that is much needed. But I used to do that in the evenings. So that has been a shift. So thank you for the inspiration to continue pushing when maybe I'm not
Yeah.
reached down to the second and get up a little bit earlier.
Well, you know what? I had to build. So when I, with kickboxing and starting out, I had to prove a following at 5 a.m. on Friday mornings. So, and this is in my early 20s when Thursday nights were,
I know.
usually a night to enjoy.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of, so to be able to build a following, I guess like anything else, when you're used to a certain routine, all of a sudden I don't even set an alarm. I just wake up.
Oh,
It's kind of wild.
that is impressive. That is impressive. Okay, if you could stop something and start something new, what would it be?
If I could stop something, I'd want to stop the expectation that we always need to be on or available and create boundaries to not let work consume every moment, and start, I say, just be more intentional when it comes to that work-life balance, and whether that's encouraging my team to truly unplug after hours, and spending more time with my family.
Oh, good. I love it. Well, they're fortunate to have you as a leader because oftentimes it starts at the top. So you get to control that to a certain degree. Okay,
Sure.
what are three things you can't live without?
That's easy. My husband John, I was fortunate to meet him 17 years ago. He asked me out early, back to the early in the morning. I think it wasn't until 7 a.m., but getting coffee one morning at Dunkin' Donuts. But he was a complete stranger to me, but the universe always has its way of connecting people when you least expect it. And my two daughters, Savannah and Ava. But gosh, if they were listening to this, they'd be so heartbroken that I didn't mention our German Shepherd black lab named Cash. So hopefully I can bend the rules and squeeze him in too.
You got it. Your things, your family, and including the four-legged ones. I love it. I would say the same. And the Dunkin' Donut coffee date is incredible. 17 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. You mentioned a book that you're reading. Anything else you're currently reading, listening to, or watching?
So I live in Connecticut and it's fall, which is honestly one of the most beautiful times of the year to be here. And my oldest daughter, Savannah, and I just started watching Gilmore Girls, which is fitting because it's set in Connecticut. And it's just funny how much the show reminds me of our life in our small town. And I mean, believe it or not, Leslie, we have horses that walk down our street. We actually had a large black bear in my neighbor's yard over the weekend. So it was a more remote than Stars Hollow. But that sense of community and togetherness, I mean, that's real. And it's just funny how a show managed to capture, I guess, like that sense of community. But yeah, I mean, it's just whether it's through those neighborhood updates or people just helping each other out, it's a reminder of how important connection is both in life and in work.
Well, you're the second person in maybe 3 days to mention the Gilmore Girls, and I've never watched it, so I'm going to start, and we can report back to. We also live in a small community in town, so it's kind of inspired me to get started on it. Well, Heather, thank you so much for joining us. If someone would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do so?
Thank you, Leslie. Yeah, no, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on today. My email is hjennings@idealhire.com, or as you mentioned, Leslie, LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has that standard URL, right? It's www.linkedin.com/in. And then from there, if you just type in /healthcare staffing, that's me. Or you could just type in Heather Jennings and you should be able to find me that way too. So feel free to connect with me there. And that's where as you mentioned too, you could check out that video of Matthew McConaughey that we were discussing earlier and several other things. But thanks again. It's been a
Fantastic.
really great conversation.
We'll be sure to tag some of those mentions as we promote the podcast as well. Heather, as always, a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you again for all you do for our industry, your teams, and the communities that you serve. You continue to be an inspiration to many, myself included.
Thanks again.